welcome to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com. Folks, check it out. There, Liz Croken has an article exclusive to the Hagman Report. HagmanReport.com, check out Liz's article, which does dovetail into this guest, our next guest. We're so very honored to have with us Melissa Zachariah, also known as the Honeybee. She was an independent investigator, citizen journalist. She shares research and techniques on how to connect the dots regarding government scandals, cover-ups, and abuse of power. Her most prominent investigative work involves child abuse and exploitation. It's one of the subjects that we care a lot about, we speak a lot about, and of course, this guest, Melissa, Honeybee, is the go-to person for this. Go ahead, Joe.
I'm wondering, I'm looking at now, is it Zachariah or Zachariah?
Zachariah.
Okay.
I get both. It's fine. Zachariah is how you say it, so...
Okay, well, thank you. Well, come on in, and thank you so very much for joining us. We, your work is impeccable, and your work with respect to your prominent investigative work with regard to the child exploitation, abuse, and pedophilia, sex trafficking, it's unbelievable what you're doing. So thank you for that. Let's just jump right in, and... Let's get started here. Well, I don't want to waste a second of time unnecessarily. Where do you want to start?
So I just want to say how, for me, it's just a very passionate thing. I started doing it because I just couldn't believe that this was going on. And I've been a conspiracy theory person, you know, my whole life. And I've always looked into these things. You know, I was very interested in the McMartin preschool case, in the West Memphis 3. You know, these are, you know, quote, allegations never ever proved, but nobody really likes to talk about, you know, the Ponchatoula case, you know, where there were arrests and convictions of satanic ritual abuse at the Hosanna Church School, where many children were actually abused and people were put to jail. But you don't see that when you go to the Wikipedia and you look up these terms. It was just fascinating to me. And then when Pizzagate came out, because I was already looking at the Pedogate situation. Pedogate is like the main umbrella of the sexual exploitation of children in the highest echelons of our government. So the lower levels, you know, the poverty and child welfare and things like that, with children being prostitutes and things like that. There's so many layers of this. But when Pizzagate came out, it just put it all in the spotlight. And I was just really interested in kind of going with that wave. And it really took me up. I mean, I'm very new at content creation. I've only been doing this for about 4 or 5 months. And the actual reaction that I've gotten from subscribers and people that want to hear about this, and they follow my research and the details that I try to show them, they're loving it. Not loving it in a good way, but like they want to hear about it because it's so censored and suppressed in our media. They know what's going on. They can see the proof of it happening, but there's just something missing there. Somebody doesn't want us talking about it on the mainstream.
It's an amazing thing, the blowback that we have received and continue to receive when we speak about what is known as Pizzagate, for example. Now, there are a lot of misconceptions about Pizzagate, a lot of misinformation, disinformation out there, intentional, deliberate. But having said that, it's a real thing. And by the way, Melissa is the founder of something called NAPALM, which is the Boston Contact for Our Children Matter. I really think... Melissa, I really believe that people don't want to address this, or it's so uncomfortable to talk about, but it's so necessary.
Yeah, I think people put the blinders on. It's a paradigm smashing realization when you start to look at the evidence and you see things that you can't really unsee. And it changes you. It changes your thinking about things. Everything is, you know, I mean, I've seen CP on platforms, web platforms, without even looking for it. Just stumbled upon it and had to deal with the FBI and had to deal with the NCMEC, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. These are things that scar you for life, and you just become a warrior. And that's how I started this whole napalm project. It just started with me. I mean, I was just doing this already, and I figured, you know what, we need to start pushing this out to other people that are interested in actually taking this on and fighting it, you know, actively going out and attacking this problem.
You know what, folks, Melissa is one person that we can hold up and say, here is an example of one person making a difference, of doing things and doing things effectively. And again, our thanks to you for everything you do. So exactly what is the Napalm Initiative, if you want to explain that a little bit?
Sure. NAPALM stands for Nations Against Pedophile Advocated Legislation and Mobilization. So those two terms, the legislation and the mobilization, are very important because it kind of puts a target on a certain sort of group of people that are interested in legislating rights for pedosexual, pedophilic, rights to have sex with children. It also is the mobilization that's an issue with them starting to organize and create websites and plan, you know, rallies and try to tag on to the LGBT community, which they're not having that. I mean, I wouldn't be in this Pride Parade tomorrow if we weren't there for drawing a line. We're going to the Pride Parade tomorrow to march, but we're not, you know, there to tote the flag of happiness of pride. We're there to draw the line from pedophiles actually infiltrating into this this movement. So the biggest thing that is important in this whole project is the actual attacking. So most of my attacking is happening, you know, via internet. I'm not going out and trying to hurt people physically. That's not what we want to do. The name is sort of militant, and it's a little scary to see, but we want that to be scary because, you have your activist groups like Antifa and BAM. You know, they're out there and they're antagonizing and they're being a pain to people that are trying to get their message out. So I want to be that against these pedophile advocacy groups that are trying to lower the age of consent and gain rights and acceptance and normalization in our country and all over the world. So attacking sites, bringing profiles down, constantly reporting them to the FBI, to the web platforms. You know, this is a daily thing that I do, and it's a lot of work. And I've had a few successes, but I need an army for this. This is very important that we all start taking an active hand in getting these profiles and websites taken down, as well as going and being an activist against it as well.
Melissa, before we get too far into the interview, can you tell our audience where they can find you on social media? I know you have a huge social media presence.
Sure. I'm on YouTube as The Honeybee, so you can just go to www.youtube.com/C/TheHoneybee, and you'll get right to my YouTube page. You can also find me on Facebook. It's Facebook/TheHoneybee page. And I'm probably most active on Twitter. I mean, I'm really on there every day trying to fight this stuff because, unfortunately, a lot of these people, these, you know, pedophile, incest, and bestiality kind of people, they hang out on Twitter, and they're pushing their agenda. So we are constantly battling with them. So you can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/TheHoneybee_, and then also at Napalm_USA, and you can follow me.
We will have links to your all of your sites, all of your portals,
and
in our description.
In the Hagman Report write up for the show.
We're going to have something independent too tomorrow, coming out tomorrow. And Melissa, talk to us if you don't mind. What's going on tomorrow specifically? Before you do, I just want to notify our audience that there's going to be a Hagman Report Lightning Roundtable with Melissa, the Sawman, Craig Sawyer, who we met in Chicago a couple of weeks ago, or I guess last month now, in Liz Croken, Wednesday, June 14th, which is going to be fabulous. But let's talk about tomorrow, your initiative tomorrow, and if people want to be involved in that, is there still time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's still time to do it anywhere you are. The march is called the Our Children Matter 50 States March, and it is just inviting the whole country, anywhere you are, anywhere you live. It doesn't need to be organized. It could be just you with a sign or a pamphlet you can download off of ourchildrenmatter.net, some information about the Pedogate situation, the Pizzagate investigation that's not happening. In Boston, we're really pushing on a lot of different levels there with the CPS and NCMEC corruption, along with you know, the pedophile advocacy groups and whatnot that I'm dealing with. So at the march tomorrow, you know, we have maybe about 15 to 20 people coming, but after tonight, hopefully we'll have more. It's in Boston, down in Copley Square, and we're going to be marching in the Boston Pride Parade, also because there's going to be 75,000 people there, and that's a great place for us to start spreading the word and get the information out. We have lots of pamphlets. We have a great, beautiful banner that I got made from the donations from our donation page on YouCaring, and we're really excited to be there. I think that if you want to do something, go to ourchildrenmatter.net and open up that little map. It'll tell you the nearest march near you. You don't even have to email anybody. Like I said, just go. Find out what time it's going on right on that website. If you feel compelled, there's emails there to reach the organizers and be a part of it. And if you can't, donate to my march. Donate to someone else that has a march that's up there. You can find all that information on that webpage. But I think it's important that we all start taking initiative and trying to get this information out.
And folks, hopefully you can see when we had talked about our new mandate, we are becoming more and more proactive, and we are infiltrating, using our investigative assets, infiltrating groups, and assisting in these types of events. Also, you know, having Craig Sawyer and Liz Croak and Melissa together, I'll tell you, this is a force multiplier. And as we gain steam and momentum, I can guarantee you we're going to have these people on the run. I would urge everyone to support Melissa. Again, we will be having the and we already do have the links in our program description for tonight, but a separate standalone article for tomorrow, even before the march. But Melissa, CPS, Child Protective Services, corruption out the wazoo, I guess. Children prostituted, abused. Let's talk about that, if that's a natural segue at this point.
Absolutely. So, you know, we started seeing this lifting of the veil when Trump came into the presidency. And I think that has a lot to do with him really wanting to push to look at this and to force people to look at this problem. So, you know, when that first bust that was very little publicized, there was like absolutely no news stories about it in L.A., that 474 people that were arrested in that sex trafficking ring, and many of those were kids. So I had been following that since the moment it came out, because I had been trolling Google, you know, by the minute to see new cases, because my material is based on very current, you know, convictions of government officials, military personnel, police personnel. So I just had, it popped on my screen, and it was a very new article. And they implicated DCF in being in charge of the kids that were actually involved in the sex trafficking. So they took the kids out of the care of DCF and put them in other non-government funded agencies to be cared for. Now, there's little to nothing about that case anymore. I have called the sheriff's department over there in LA a number of times, and I am not able to get any information about it. I'm going to have to file a Freedom of Information Act request to get some information. So that being said, looking at the, you know, the huge government connection to this, if you look at the United States Department of Health and Human Services, this is the huge cabinet, you know, government agency or the federal government that oversees everything, not just, you know, the health and education. It goes even further into the Food and Drug Administration. And they are in charge of the administration for children and families. Now, these are two big government agencies that they have millions and billions of dollars are flowing through these industries every year. And a big hot ticket item for them is the Child Protective Services. Because it's a little known fact, and there have been people that have been killed, i.e. Nancy Schaefer, who have discovered the money-making and profits that come out of pulling kids out of homes and putting them into the state's care. You're talking thousands of dollars when a child is taken from a home. You're talking thousands of dollars when they drug test parents. There are these for-profit, you know, contractors that work within the government that they provide these little services for. So you're racking up $10,000-$20,000 for all these little things for one kid being taken out of a home. And, you know, I think that it's great that there are people looking out for kids, but we have seen through the work of Nancy Schaefer and also Mr. Morales, he wrote the book, Carlos Morales, he wrote the book Legally Kidnapped, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. He worked for CPS himself, and he's a whistleblower. Nancy Schaefer, she went over the numbers. She looked into, you know, where is the money? Where is it going? Who is funding all this stuff? Who is making the money off of these kids? So that's why we're seeing, you know, kids disappearing, and then they're kind of, like in this one situation, I have this child that disappeared four times, and I'm working with, you know, another two researchers on trying to actually figure out if this girl is missing or if she's in a sex trafficking situation. She's been in the system her whole life. Her mother was killed by gunshot accident. Her uncle and her father are MIA. She's now 20 years old, but the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Catholic Charities have been saying she's been missing over the last 4 years. So every few months, there's a new posting of her missing. She is active on Facebook, so we're not sure if she's like for sale or, do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just all this crazy stuff that, you know, you have the government agencies involved, but yet you have these strange stories, you know, of sex trafficking, people making money off of these kids. You know, I'm not even going to get into, you know, the Laura Silsby bringing up kids from, you know,
Haiti,
places with these tragedies, these natural disasters, and like these kids are just left for the picking. Do you know what I mean? So this is like a larger problem that I don't think people can actually wrap their heads around. That's what I'm saying.
In WikiLeaks exposed the connection between Silsby and, of course, Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, and we all know where that's headed. So
we talk about the Islamic influence that continues to gain in this country and in the Middle East, as some of the regular practices, cultural practices over there, you have families who actually sell their children into not only arranged marriage type situations, but into sex trafficking. And, you know, it is legal in some countries over there. And that's just another aspect when we talk about, you know, this Muslim invasion of the West, this Islamic invasion, you know, from the genital mutilations to the marriage of children and,
right,
and sex slaves. That's a huge component of this belief system. And, you know, we see that bleeding over into our hemisphere. And not only that, we're welcoming it in. But you, Melissa, you were talking about investigations, and Seth Rich popped to mind. We've seen kind of a slowdown from the past few weeks where we saw this story, you know, gain traction all throughout the alternative media. We know it's the mainstream media's favorite topic.
Right.
But here we have this investigation, or I believe they're still, you know, the case might be closed in the eyes of the police. They won't come out and say that. But we have Seth Rich, who is the DNC staffer, murdered. It's been said, and there's corroborating evidence that he was the somebody who leaked the DNC emails or Podesta emails to WikiLeaks. And they said it was an attempted robbery. Only nothing's been taken. What are your thoughts on the Seth Rich investigation and the whole situation?
Yeah, I mean, it is it's quite a fascinating case because there's just so many unknowns for us in a media that's always trying to answer the question to spoon feed us the information, and you know they're just leaving us hanging with this you know robbery. You know, there was no robbery. There was no money taken. There was no, there's, you know, this person was taken out. And this whole thing with Kim.com is very interesting to me because he had predicted back in 2015 that Hillary Clinton was going to fall in 2016. And he had an interview with a woman and was very, very open about that. And she kept trying to push why? And he just said, I have intel and I can't talk about it. And then, you know, very shortly after that, the United States went after Mega Upload, his billion-dollar company, and now the United States kind of owns his company. There's like this whole legal battle going on. So, you know, they attack you in the wallet, and then, you know, or they kill you. So in this case with Seth Rich, you know, you have Kim.com saying, I have evidence that Seth had these files, and we talked about it. I am willing to testify in front of the Congress and prove to you that he is the one that leaked the documents. And then you look at Julian Assange. You know, when he was pushed about asking about the details of Seth Rich, he was very uncomfortable. That's like the first time I actually saw him kind of stutter and like skip over his words because I think he wanted his audience to kind of know that it was Seth Rich. I think that's why he fumbled, was because he wanted us to know that it was him. And that this was a crime, a huge crime. So, I'm hoping that, you know, there are files that will be released. Maybe WikiLeaks has more information. You know, if he saw something and it was that bad and somebody wanted to kill him, I can just imagine what he saw. And I'm sure it goes far beyond some, you know, voting machine fraud. You know, he was already privy to that from the beginning. But to actually go to Julian Assange or whoever and try to give files, I mean, there must have been something real bad on there. So,
yeah, you know, there's a whole bunch of red flags from the Seth Rich situation, from the laptop to the ties to the way. Well, what really gets me is the fact that this is an unsolved homicide with no leads whatsoever, and the police and the mainstream media and the family are already closing one of the angles of a big angle of investigation, which is the WikiLeaks, the ties to the DNC, the WikiLeaks, and if that could have led to the cause of the attack. But they won't even entertain this thought, and they basically call you a conspiracy theorist now, and if you do bring this angle up, and then they continue to say that is debunked in the way the media reacted to this is what gave me, you know,
And if I can just punch in Joe real quick here, and Melissa, I have a contact within the MPD venue who said this case with respect to Seth Rich was never ever opened, keyword there, opened as a robbery or a botched robbery or attempted robbery. It was never opened under that classification. Just as an FYI. So.
And, Melissa, we have about 2.5 minutes left before the end of the segment. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you want to get into in the remaining time?
Yeah, I just wanted to actually, you know, to put you on a, to leave you hanging. I'm working with this fascinating woman who approached me. She is telling me that her ex-husband was a high-level child pornographer. And she sent me all of her credentials and ways to look her up. And I have my ways of finding information about people. And when I saw her criminal record, I almost fell off my chair. And I was like, listen, lady, I don't know who you are, but it sounds like you're either like supposed to be in jail or you're James Bond. Like, I don't know what's going on. And then she just unraveled this story. She used to be a private investigator, and her story is just absolutely amazing. And I am working with her closely to share her story. in sort of a documentary kind of way, because I could talk to this woman for days, the stories she could share with me, and she provides pretty good evidence here. So that's one thing I want you guys to keep looking out for, because this is kind of a big deal, and I'm really excited to be working with her. I can't really put her name out there yet. I have to talk to her about how she wants to be presented, but that is on the way.
Okay. That's very interesting. Can you give the details out again for the Our Children Matter event that's going on tomorrow?
Yeah, sure thing. So tomorrow, if you're in the Boston area, come, or anywhere in New England, if you can get here, meet me at Copley Square at 10:45 in the morning. You know, that's as simple as it is. Bring a sign, bring some energy. If you are anywhere else in the country, go to www.ourchildrenmatter.net. Take a look at the map. Click on a little pin near you. And if you can get to that rally or that parade or that march, go to it. If there's nothing near you, do it with your friends. Call some friends up tonight. You know what I mean? Have a couple beers and talk about it. You want to go out there and spread the news. You don't need to organize with an organizer. You don't have to, like, check in with me or with Neil Wolf. Neil Wolf is the creator of OurChildrenMatter.net. He's an awesome guy. He ran the D.C. March and did a fantastic job, built a whole stage for it, you know. There's people that are willing to do anything they can and sacrifice their time and their lives for this, because we will do anything for our future, for our children, and that's what this is all about. It's for the kids, and you know, I'm very passionate about it.
Melissa, it's been our pleasure. We're very honored to have you. Let's show Melissa support. Let her know that you heard her on the Hagman Report, and show up, support her tomorrow in Boston or wherever you might be at. Check in with the website. Of course, more on that later. God bless you. Thank you, Melissa.
God bless you guys. Take care.
We will be right back with Josh Peck after this.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is... It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and the Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Caring Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Army's kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Army's Kit at www.changelessonwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes.
Even when I'm surprised, you keep holding on.
That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. You know, this, over the last couple of days, my wife, as she recovered, was reading through some of the cards, the letters, to the Hagman Report, and, tearing up, actually crying over, just some of the great mail that we have received, postal mail. And I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to our broadcast, for being part of our broadcast, for being part of our show as we grow, as we expand, as we throw down the gauntlet and say, you know what? Things are going to change. We are going to be instruments of change as in obedience to God and as God wills us. But we are going to answer the call. We're going to be available to answer the call. But again, thank you so much for all of your correspondence, your emails, your postal mail. It is so much appreciated. Your support, your prayers, your word of mouth coverage. You have no idea how much difference that makes, by spreading the word about our show. That said, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're listening to this on Global Star Radio or whatever venue, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Even if you don't watch the YouTube, that raises our visibility and it provides an extra layer of insulation as we go forth and uncover topics like the pedophilia epidemic or the homicide epidemic. Yes, I said homicide epidemic. As we move forward in uncovering the evil machinations of the New World Order globalist progressive people out there. And I also want to thank Todd and his family, his staff, Global Star Radio Network for curating our program. Great job. And again, thank each and every one of you from the bottom of our hearts for being part of what I would call a movement. And I'll just leave it at that because I look at it as something that's much bigger than each one of us. Also, thanks to John Robertson for everything you've done and really stepping up and putting together some fantastic shows as our program director / producer. I think he kind of shies away from program director that adheres to producer, but the fact of the matter is he's the engine behind what you hear every night in terms of the content. So thank you, John Robertson, a very special thank you. The guy never sleeps, I tell you that. And now we have with us Josh Peck. Josh, everyone knows Josh Peck. Apart from being the creator of the Sharpening Report, he's also an avid researcher of various topics, the author of numerous books, and I've got them. And they're mind benders. They're good reads. Don't get me wrong, they're extremely good reads. And they actually allow me, if I can understand what I'm reading, that's the to me, that's a quality of a great author. When you can take a complex subject like, string theory or quantum physics and allow me to understand that.
So you're a big fan of Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, if it rhymes. Sorry, I'll give you that. But a very talented author, Quantum Creation, and many other works. Skywatch TV as well. He's been featured on numerous radio and television shows.
And we had the
Rising Star. Yes.
The pleasure of meeting Josh in Ohio a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And at a conference there.
Him and his beautiful
wife.
Ohio.
Yes. Yeah, and that was a real treat.
Yeah, indeed. Before we get to Josh, ready-made resources. Folks, go to ready-made resources. Make sure you are prepared for whatever might be coming down the pike. ReadyMadeResources.com. Check out their night vision equipment, their communications equipment, all of their long-term storable food. The products that they carry, second to none. If you're looking for that one-stop shop for the Cadillac of products for preparation, ReadyMade Resources, Bob Griswold, the man behind the operation, fantastic. I can't recommend it him enough. ReadyMadeResources.com. Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you. Let's bring Josh in.
Yeah, again, Josh Peck, thesharpeningreport.com. He's been a guest on our show several times, and he continues to expand the number of platforms and his view out there. I actually was watching went to click on a YouTube video the other day, and it was somebody who took one of Josh's videos and put it up on their channel, something I already seen. But Josh, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you, and I know you got some pretty important subject matter that you're going to be covering tonight.
Well, hey, Joe. Hey, Doug. It's good to talk to you guys again. It's always a blessing to come on your show. I was saying earlier, one of my favorite shows to do, and I really appreciate that you've always made me feel at home here on the Hagman and Hagman Report. I love you guys, and thank you for bringing me on. Yeah, this is a very important topic, and I know it's something I think especially content producers or people who have shows, especially people who have YouTube channels, who are using them to try to get the truth out to people, especially within Christianity. A lot of us go through some of the stuff we'll be talking about today, some of the negativity that can be launched our way through, you know, comments or things like that on our outlets when we're just trying to, you know, we're trying to do God's work, we're trying to get the truth out to people, and sometimes we get blasted for it. I'm sure you guys have never had to deal with that.
Never. folks, we're going to be talking about Christian cannibalism, not of course cannibalism in the actual practical eating flesh sense, but just in my view anyway, just as horrific, and that is how Christians are coming after other Christians. Remember Tom Horn wrote a book called Blood on the Altar, titled Blood on the Altar. We had done a couple of shows on that book, and we're seeing that come to pass, and this is the subject matter for tonight. And I think it's so important because we are the recipients of some of the most horrific, some of the most disgusting, some of the most vile, some of the most vicious content, the lies, disinformation by people, deliberate disinformation, deliberate, obviously, lies.
The stuff that's in the public that other people see. And then, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, we got an email. Somebody said, how dare you take advantage of your wife's illness to hawk book? Some way out of left field.
Well, you know? I know the private idiot things that wrote that. But
those are the, I mean, we have a lot of stuff like that that's private, that's under the radar that nobody sees. But then we have also what you're talking about. You have the lawsuits, the legal stuff, and then
that's right,
the attacks from other so-called Christians on stuff that isn't true, it's made up. I mean, just slander, lies, and defamation.
So
that
some
comes
of those
with the territory, right?
Well, you know what? And let me just interject here, and then I'm going to shut up for the rest of the time. Sure, I am. But the fact is, Coach Dave Dobmeier says, you know, what do you expect? We're in a war, and I get that we are in a war. So I fully expect that, and I don't have a problem with somebody saying, you know what, Doug, you're an idiot. I really don't have a problem with that because a lot of times I resemble that remark many times.
But the friendly fire,
yeah, exactly.
That's what comes out of left field.
Right. And when I see someone saying that they are a Christian, but they act as a prosecutor for, as a prosecutor would, saying, I am a Christian and you, Hagman and Hagman Report, you are profiting from fear. Well, no, we're trying to help people by informing people. If we mention a book that would help them, so be it. We have nothing to apologize for. But what gets me is what saddens me. If I was not a Christian, looking into the Christian environment right now, I would be laughing and saying, you know, we can just step back. We don't have to do anything. These people are going to kill one another. They're gonna implode. And this was the subject of your talk at a recent conference. I believe it was at Hear the Watchman in Dallas or Tennessee or one of those locations. But nonetheless, you had given a tremendous talk on this, so just let it rip.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Dallas. And it was in Dallas. And I got to give a big shout-out to Mike Kerr and Jeannie Moore from Hear the Watchman. They're a fantastic couple, and they put on this whole thing. And, of course, there were a lot of other people involved in actually getting this conference together. But they actually not a lot of conferences will allow this, and for good reason. But they allowed me to take my the video that they shot of my presentation and actually post it on my YouTube channel. A lot of times conferences won't, you know, they want to post it on their own YouTube channel, or they want to put it on a DVD set or something. So for a wide variety of very good reasons, and I believe right and moral reasons, a lot of conferences don't allow speakers to do that, but Mike and Jeannie were kind enough to allow me to, and if people want to watch the full presentation, they can go to youtube.com/Josh Peck Disclosure, and it's right up on there. The whole conference was amazing, but a lot of it was really interesting. This wasn't planned, but every speaker, you know, it's supposed to be like a big prophecy conference, and it was. We talked a lot about prophecy, and I did too, but every speaker had this element of unity, that we as Christians need to be united. We got to knock off the division. We got to quit biting each other and fighting with each other, and or we're not going to make it through what's to come. And it was really cool to see all these different talks, and you mentioned Coach Dave. He was there, and he had a very powerful talk about that, about the strengths of true Christian love, and that was part of my presentation as well, like what biblical love actually is. And it's not this wussy, liberal, progressive left garbage that we get shoved down our throats from Hollywood and every, you know, non-Christian media outlet in the world. It has nothing to do with any of that. That's the fake love, and the Bible actually calls it out for what it is. That's fake love. True love is a lot stronger than that. It's our most precious commodity as Christians, and we should be protecting it. But unfortunately, we live in a day and age where it's very easy for people to fall into the temptation of feeding their pride instead of feeding love for other people.
At the end of the day, are we talking simply ego, envy, jealousy, that kind of stuff? Or is this driven by something something deeper? Or maybe it's both, right?
Absolutely, it's both. It absolutely is people's pride. Part of this talk that I gave, it kind of gets into the psychology of the internet troll, you know? And I know what I'm talking about because I used to be one years ago. And in this presentation, I went through what that was like for me, and that was like 12 years ago. That was a long time ago. I used to be really mean and vicious online because I didn't, even though I wouldn't have recognized it as this at the time, but, you know, God showed me I wasn't seeing the online world as the real world. You know, I wasn't seeing the names and pictures that I was talking with as actual real people. I didn't feel like I would be held accountable for those things that I was typing, but we are. We're held accountable for every idle word, and that doesn't have to be just spoken words. It's things that we write, and things we put on Facebook and YouTube. So the question is, you know, just because there's YouTube and there's Facebook now, does that mean that everything the apostles had to say just goes out the window? Of course not. So I use this term because it's provocative, and you know, sure, it's a little clickbaity, but I think that the people who would click on something that's clickbaity need this message more than others, maybe. But the title of the presentation had to do with cannibal Christians in the apocalypse. Now, that term I can't take credit for. The first time I heard it, Mike Kerr said it, and then Mike Kerr said that Steve Quayle, he heard it from Steve Quayle. So I'll give Steve the credit for that term, but I like it, and I think it's appropriate because it's biblical. And we'll get into that verse later, if we have time, but about how, you know, be careful if you bite, you know, you don't devour one another and stuff like that. It's basically talking about, emotional cannibalism. So people might be wondering, if they've never heard that term, what is a cannibal Christian? A cannibal Christian is it's a self-professing Christian. These people will say that they're Christians. And I should make note too, there's a difference between being saved and being a practicing Christian, being a follower of Christ. You can accept Jesus into your heart and, you know, get saved, and then ignore Jesus the rest of your life. You know, a lot of people do that. And, so there's a difference between what just being saved means and what actually living for Christ, being a Christian, following what the Bible says about how to love one another and all that. So, but these people, these cannibal Christians, they're self-professing Christians. A lot of times they'll even have like a cross as their picture or something in social media. But they use their brothers and sisters in Christ negatively, but towards their own emotional needs. So what this does is it causes both parties to suffer spiritually, emotionally, sometimes even physically, and this is done usually through social media. We see it a lot on YouTube, but it can even be email or Twitter or Facebook. But as of now, here's the encouraging thing. These cannibal Christians, they absolutely are the minority, even though it doesn't seem like they are. The reason it seems like it's the majority is because they have the loudest voice, especially online. They have the platform. Most of the time, people like you or I, or, you know, just good-natured, polite Christians, they're not going to get online and blast these cannibals. You know, they're just not going to comment at all. That's usually what I do. That's usually what most people do. And if we're bold enough, we'll delete the comment, block the person doing it, so we don't ever have to hear them again. But we don't usually leave a response because it's pointless. Now, that's most times the right thing to do, but sometimes the issue in that is it gives these people the total platform, and it lets them basically have run of the internet. Now, any belief, because some people believe that this is a matter of like which groups you belong to in Christianity, but any belief within Christianity, and really any belief anywhere, I mean, even political systems or beliefs outside of Christianity, but any group can sprout these cannibal type people. And it's not so much about the beliefs as it is the people themselves, because the main motivation is usually emotional, to fill some sort of need that isn't being met in their own lives in a healthy way. So in that way, absolutely, it's an ego-driven thing. However, there's also a spiritual component to it. There are principalities and powers. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, meaning people aren't the problem. We're not supposed to be fighting with other people. But what's in control of those people? So with a lot of these people, these ego-driven people who want to blast everyone online, it lists it out in Ephesians 6:12. It's principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and, you know, all those things. So what we should be doing is banding together as Christians in unity and using the authority in Jesus that we have against the spiritual problem that Jesus has given us authority over. Now, these cannibal types, they cause harm to their victims, usually through emotional abuse. It's, you know, insults, name-calling. Usually we hear of it as trolling, people, like internet trolls. And these people, they feel that they gain superiority by proving they're smarter or wittier or more clever or more enlightened than their victim, than people like you and me. They also unknowingly, they're causing harm to themselves, because what they're doing is they're stunting their own spiritual growth and creating this victimhood mentality. And really, it's breaking clear and direct commandments of God. And there's a lot of people that would challenge me on that. But we're going to be getting into some scripture, and it's going to be a little scripture heavy, but I don't think that that's too much of a problem. But now, like I said, many circles of beliefs have these extremist types. So it's not just any one group or another, and it's usually not even a problem with the idea itself. You know, we're Christians, we're different people, we're allowed to have differences of opinions on different things. So some of these differences in opinions, some of the extremists within those views, will branch off, make their own little group, and then you gotta believe everything they believe or you're not allowed in, and then you'll be trolled. So it's not the groups themselves. For example, I do a lot of videos, you know, as do you guys, and especially with me, I'm really animated when I talk. I talk with my hands, even though I'm on the phone right now with you guys and I know nobody can see me, I'm still talking with my hands. You know, I just do that a lot. And I have a show, Into the Multiverse, on Skywatch TV, and, you know, it's a video, so I'm really animated talking with my hands all the time. People out there who will troll these videos, they'll go through and look at all the videos and try to find a place where I make an Illuminati hand sign, you know? And then they'll make a blog or a Facebook post or something and say, see, Skywatch and Josh Peck, they're Freemasons and they're Illuminati and all that. But you can, I do video editing, you know, for a job at Skywatch. There are certain frames where my good friend Derek Gilbert, you know, he's extremely professional. He's smart as they come. Just all around the kind of guy I want to be when I grow up, you know. There are times I can pick out frames where he looks drunk. You know, it's just how video editing works. So you can find frames to make anything look like anything. So,
yeah, and Josh, I have to throw in here. Steve Quayle is one of the most maligned people on the internet, I believe. People will point out things, for example, that might be on his website, whether it's colors or numbers or very innocent things, and of course ascribe that to very evil things. Same with our program. Hey, he said that three times at 33 minutes after the hour. So that must mean something, okay? Which is absolutely ridiculous. Not to mention, although I will, some moron had taken what I said a number of years ago and played it in reverse and is now convinced I am some part of some sort of secret society, okay? This is the moronic, idiotic kind of crap that exists out there, and believe it or not, we have people believing this. And yes, I've seen comments about your videos, about Derek Gilbert's, about Tom Horn. It's sad because these people.
It is, yeah.
You know, it is sad. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. The worst part about this is. In times before the internet, these people would have had no ground. You know, if one of these people got up in a church and said something like that, they'd be kicked out. You know, if this was like 50 years ago, it wouldn't have taken hold. But because we have the internet, and unfortunately we have a lot of uninformed and ignorant people, that read something and it sounds interesting and they want to believe it, not because there's any facts behind it, but because it fills some type of emotional curiosity. And then they spread it, and then it just spreads like wildfire. I've heard, oh, man, Tom Horn has a bunch of them. I know you guys do, Steve Quayle. And, you know, I know all of you guys personally. You know, there was a time I didn't know you personally, and I would read all this garbage online. And, you know, of course, at the time, because I didn't know any of you guys, I thought, well, is any of this true? But then, you know, I had a second of clarity and realized, well, there is no proof, so probably not. You know, if there was any proof that any of this was true, that would be big news. But anyway, so I, you know, I've gotten to know you guys. I've gotten to know Steve Quayle. I did a whole expedition with him for, him and Tom Horn, the Unearthing the Lost World of the Cloud Eaters. You know, I spent a lot of time with these people and I love all you guys to death. You all are great. And, you know, I think, and, you know, I would have to include myself in this. I think that we get a bad rap for things that are ridiculous. They're not, anything that we're even doing wrong, but it puts us in this position where we either can just not care what we say, you know, and actually I think that's probably the best way to go, or we have to be so careful not to offend anybody that you may as well call us a liberal. And we don't want to go down that path. So a lot of groups will, you know, they'll spawn people like this, And I, before I get to the big one, I'll even throw my own group in there, the quantum physics crowd, you know, electric universe, Einstein versus Tesla, all that stuff. I've had people that have tried to fight me on stuff, and I just don't because it's so stupid. Who cares? I like the gravitational model. Most people aren't going to. There's a big debate among Christians who like quantum physics. Well, is it electric universe or is it, you know, Einstein gravity universe? I like Einstein stuff, but I also like Tesla stuff. You know, I can see both sides of the coin, and I don't think it should be a debate because it's so stupid. What a dumb thing to fight about. Like, I'm sure that's what Jesus wants us to fight about. So I just, I don't debate it, but I'm happy to have conversations about it. I'll even throw my own group in there. That has produced extremists who only want to fight because it feeds their ego. There's others. There's people who want to believe 9/11 is an inside job. And sure, it probably was. I mean, I'm a big time, I am a conspiracy theorist, and, you know, I'm a fringe guy. I get it. I'm on all that stuff. But, at the same time, I would never tell somebody that they're not saved if they don't, or they're not a Christian if they believe differently than I do. Right. One big example, and again, this isn't the idea itself, but I'm going to bring it up boldly because, you know, I'm kind of getting more on the I don't care what people say or think. If they're going to get offended, no matter what I say, they're going to get offended anyway. So I don't know how less offensive I can be. But, and I say in all love, the Flat Earth community is notorious for this. And, of course, not all of them are like that. I get it. I have friends that are into the Flat Earth stuff, and they're fine. They're nice people. But there's a lot of extremists. And those extremists, those people who will go out and they will email people like me or you or Skywatch or message us and tell us that we don't believe in the Bible. We're preaching a false gospel because we don't believe the earth is flat. How stupid. And I'm not even saying that flat earth theory is stupid. I don't care. If people want to believe that it's flat, that's fine. It has no bearing on me or my beliefs, and I would never question somebody's salvation over that. I don't believe it's flat, but that's my own personal opinion, and that's all it is.
And Josh, we're about 15, 20 seconds outside of a break. And okay. I think people need to understand, because you're hitting in real important points here, the salvation. I mean, if we all agree that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we all accept Him, and you know, that's the starting point of Christianity. At that point, we really can't demonize each other for not being saved or preaching a false gospel. If we agree on that one point to begin with, that's where we gotta start to branch out to build with each other and work with each other. Folks, we're talking with Josh Peck, thesharpeningreport.com. We'll be right back with Josh after this.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God particle before CERN actually discovered the God particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to His creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.